Hello, Mzansi. Welcome to episode 389 of the Farmers Inside Track podcast. My name is Duncan Masiwa, and I'm your host for this episode. Now, I recently had the opportunity to facilitate a very important dialogue on food security with the African Agri Council. Now, they are hosting a series of food security strategy meetings where industry leaders will gather to address pivotal questions shaping the future of food and agriculture. Now, these strategy meetings focuses on three points: what's new, what's next, and what's needed in food and agriculture. These questions are answered in a number of high-level meetings that are designed to spark fruitful discussions around the most pressing issues in the industry to ultimately shape its future and drive action, but most importantly, deliver impact. Now, for this session, I'm in conversation with Gilles Metatel, Chairman of the Advisory Board of the Agri Council, also Nhlanhla Nene, Board Member of the African Agri Council and former Finance Minister. Joining them is Frank Bracken, African Agri Council Board Member and Advisor for major agro and food firms in Africa. Here's a snippet from the discussion under the theme Promoting Policy Dialogue Between Private Sector and Governments to Improve Food Security. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. It's really an honor to have you with us on today's discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, Duncan, and for the kind introduction.
Now, we're discussing food security. Mr. Gilles, starting with you, what do you believe are the key challenges faced by the private sector and African governments in ensuring food security?
First of all, I would like to emphasize that in my view, food security in Africa is a major challenge. It's a challenge not for Africa, but it's a challenge for the world globally, especially because Africa has an immense potential to produce more food that is not properly utilized today. And for sure, Africa would be in a position to supply food to the rest of the world rather than the other way around. And so there are a lot of things to be done. And clearly, it is with the private sector that things will improve, because food is produced by the private sector. And therefore, you know, it's by supporting the private sector that we will manage to change things. That's why I'm a strong supporter, of course, of the African Agri Council as being an institution that is trying to promote the private sector in the food and agriculture in Africa. Funny enough, you know, we were in a very similar situation back in 2008, 2010 in Eastern Europe, whereby, you know, despite huge potential, these countries didn't produce enough food to feed their own population. This is where the governments of Russians put a veto on export of grain, and Ukraine put a quota system for export of grain, which of course further disrupted the market and created even more problems. And we tried to intervene when I was at EBRD. We tried to intervene to stop that, especially in Ukraine. And we had assessed, together with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, we had assessed the potential of Ukraine, and we concluded that the country could export more than 60 million tons of grain if just they were managing the land. And therefore, we have a large, mainly grain trading companies, global and local grain trading companies, to come to our office in London. And we ask them and say, what do you think is needed to release the potential of agriculture in Ukraine? And the answer was very simple. They just said, we need predictability. How do you want a private sector to invest in agriculture if we don't know what will happen? We don't know what the government will do tomorrow. And when they put an export quota, when we have already filled, the boats are full with grain and we cannot just export and the grain is rotting in the silos and in the ships, this is not the right thing to do. We went to Ukraine, we met with the government, and we asked a very simple question. Would you be willing to work with the private sector in order to have policies, more and more visibility in the policies you have? And to my surprise, you know, the Minister of Agriculture was very favorable. He said, yes, I'm happy to sit down. We even signed a memorandum of understanding between the government, the Ministry of Agriculture, and private sector. We assembled all the other institutions that were supporting Ukraine, so the World Bank, the IFC, the IMF, everybody. And by working all together, we managed to put pressure on the government to, first of all, remove the quota system and then, you know, establish a dialogue with the private sector in order to define very practically what has to be done in terms of infrastructure, in terms of roads, in terms of policies and this kind of thing. And it worked. You know, in 20 years, Ukraine became, from being barely self-sufficient in grain, it became the third largest exporter of grain in the world. If you transport that to Africa, I don't know a lot about Africa. I'm learning and I'm enjoying learning about it. But I find that too much support is directed to governments rather than private sector. I find that institutions are working too much in silos rather than working together. And by identifying in Africa the countries that have the stronger underutilized potential, and by working together, private sector, institutions, and government, I'm pretty much convinced that it would be possible to release that potential and then to see the situation changing. It is happening already in many countries when we see investment. It's not about being African or non-African. It's working together. You know, of course, Africa will need foreign investment in order to develop its agriculture. And if it is done in the right way, you know, this will be beneficial for everybody. And so I would really hope to see that within the next 10 or 20 years, a change in the system that would see Africa growing more food for itself first, and then potentially supplying food to the rest of the world.
It's quite interesting that there are actually a lot of lessons to be learned from what's happening across the borders, Mr. Nene. You know, hearing what Gilles is saying, it brings me to a question that I'll definitely ask to you later. But from your perspective, Ntate Nene, what do you suppose are the key challenges in promoting effective policy dialogue between the private sector and governments in the context of food security?
If you listen to really about what is happening outside of our borders, we indeed have a lot to learn. What has happened in our continent mainly is that I think we've not taken full advantage of the potential that we have of what we can produce, and also being able to access the markets outside of our borders. Of course, to some extent, our countries are exporting some of our produce, be it meat and veggies and citrus fruits in a way. But meeting some of those standards also becomes an issue in terms of what we produce, and also having proper agreements that allow us to be able to trade with those countries. The European Union has actually been one of those. And from time to time, we would actually hit some snags in terms of some of the conditions that we would actually struggle with. But the quantity of our produce as well, but then the quality. Another is what I call in our situation here with the small-scale farmers. I would call the small-scale farmers a conundrum, where small-scale farmers will complain that they don't have access to the market. And when they do get access to the market just becomes too big for them. You need market intelligence to understand exactly what the market requires, and also at what scale, also be able to be competitive in terms of the quality and our pricing. And again, the last point that Villa made with regards to countries being first able to produce enough to feed itself and then be able to export. At times when the prices are too attractive across our borders, we find a situation where South Africa, for instance, in maize, when the price is too good outside of our borders, you would find our maize farmers firstly rushing to export what we have, whilst we are not able to access the same maize that we require. But also perhaps taking advantage of the pricing outside of our borders, you would experience the export parity pricing, where the price of maize becomes exorbitantly high for our citizens, just because if they are able to get a better price outside of our borders, they would rather, you know, export rather than feed the South African. So the issue of food security should be at the top of that. But also, again, I know one of the questions that you raised sharply is the question of what policies need to be put in place in order to be able to create that environment. Whatever policies we put in place should not be prohibited. Policy arrangements, but should be in the form of incentives in order for our farmers to be able to participate both in feeding our nation and then being able to access outside markets.
It brings me to my next point, Frank, but Gilles mentioned. How do you believe can governments and private sector collaborate more effectively? Because clearly there's a need for this to address food security challenges. What's your take on that, Frank?
If we were only willing to look at best practice examples or look at pockets of success, vegetable production in Kenya or tea production in Rwanda, there's pockets of success where investment has flown in, the sector has thrived, has grown, has become profitable. I think there needs to be a willingness from all governments to look at these examples, learn from it, and replicate it. There's a surprising degree of lack of learning. You go to conferences and you go to large gatherings, convenings as it's called, and there's surprising little reference to examples where governments and private sectors in conjunction have been successful. You hear success stories about the private sector, and sometimes there's governments who will showcase a success story about how their policies have impacted. But I think we should really focus on examples where this cooperation or this working together between the private sector and governments is really successful. And including me, I would be very interested in it because I really have a sense that there is stuff happening that I'm not fully party to, that I'm not fully aware of. So I think we have to find a way to showcase these examples. That would be my main point.
That was, of course, Zwile Matatel, chairman of the advisory board of the African Council, Nhlanhla Nene, a board member of the African Agri-Council and former finance minister, and of course, Frank Bracken, African Agri-Council board member and advisor for major agro and food firms in Africa. Of course, they were talking to us about promoting policy dialogue between private sector and governments to improve food security. That's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food for Mzansi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans, though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzansi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.